Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you got me on?
I do. I have you on now. So.
Yes, well, I just asked for a conference call, Angel, to help you.
Thank you, Stormy.
I have a blessing about your blessing. Yesterday, you know, you talk about receiving. And I'm at a used tire store getting one tire for my car. And the pavement and ground is pretty shaky, and I'm shaky even on my walker. And there's a man who twice asked me if I need help, who's parked next to me. And so the third time he just says, well, I'm just going to walk with you anyhow because you look really unstable. And I looked at him and he says, you know what? You are asking to help me and I'm refusing you. Well, I'm just going to accept your help and say thank you. And so he walked with me. And so that's just a lesson about, you know, receiving, and someone's asking to help me, but he clearly sees I need help and I'm shaky. And so I just wanted to give a blessing about the blessing that you talk about this within us, that, you know, someone is right there asking, offering me help, and I was refusing. And I gave in and thought about the blessing that you give. So I give thanks for these conversations, Glenda.
Oh, Stormy, that's a wonderful realization and a wonderful thing to share with people on this, because we all have trouble accepting. You know why? It's very simple. Well, for one, we want to think we can do it all ourselves, at least as far as our personal life goes. We want to be independent, and we can be a little prideful about that. I don't mean it's an ego thing. It's just a little prideful thing, because we actually have worked really hard to be able to be an independent person that takes pleasure in helping other people. And so it's very hard to reverse that flow. It really, really is. And some people can get almost embarrassed about it. It was very hard for me to ask for help during the months that I was going through just about as close to hell on this earth as I could walk. And I couldn't figure out why. And I finally realized that God didn't make me suffer. This was just a consequence of a lot of things that had built up in life. And we all have these moments where the earth shakes under our feet. And when other people see the earth is shaking under our feet, because they want to be of assistance, they offer their help. So please, everybody, accept help. And just remember that state of awareness where you've accepted help from, let's say, a human person, and then pull it in during the blessing and imagine how much safer and fulfilling it is to accept help from God. He's actually always been there to help everybody, but we don't look for it. And there's another reason why we have trouble accepting. That reason
is
actually...
I also want to mention, Glenda.
Okay. I'll get back to that.
I have another blessing. There is a man in Point where I used to have my post office box who is offering to put some of my my cassette tapes that haven't been put on CDs, on the CDs. For only $20 a tape, so I'm going to see him tomorrow, and that's another blessing. Neil,
yes,
is bringing a bunch of recording equipment over here. That was my cousin David's stuff, and so I'm just having blessing after blessing after blessing, Glenda.
I'm so happy about that, and I know that part of it has to do with the fact that you've asked and you're willing to receive. So I'm going to finish the rest of what I was going to say. It'll only take a minute.
Thank you.
In the New Testament, Yeshua tells us to ask and you shall receive. Knock the door, knock on the door and it will be opened. Now, why would he actually tell us to do that when we're surrounded by blessings and we could pick them up from the heavens just like we could pick a cherry from a tree? Why does he say do that? Okay. Because he knows that we have resistance to receiving a blessing. We do. It's built in. It's just built into our constitution. But if we actually go the distance and ask, what we've done is we've opened the gate so that the resistance has been lowered. If we knock, we've opened that gate so another part of the resistance has been lowered. We have to work on lowering that resistance. That's why we have to ask. We have to ask. And there's one other reason, and that is that God, you know, more even than another human being, God honors our sovereignty. You would think that God would be the one who would just, like a parent, enter our bedroom and say, "Hey, kid, it's time for supper." But no, he doesn't. He honors our sovereignty even more than another human being would. So he waits for us to ask. So people, this is why in beginning, prior to offering the blessing, we give you a chance to be in prayer. We give you a chance through breathing or whatever else we suggest on that day to open yourself to receiving. It's a very important thing to do. And Stormy, I can see from your progress over the months where you were actually, months and months ago, you were far more interested in offering a blessing than you were to receiving a blessing. And I think that's a really, really good progress for you. And I'm glad to see it because you need to ask for these blessings, you know. And we all have only an allotted time on this earth. Until then, we'll be doing work on another level. You know, we're not going to disappear from the work. We're not going to disappear from the palace. But we'll be walking on different kinds of floors, each of us in our own allotted time. And we need to get your work down and copied, Stormy, because it's an important legacy for you to leave behind. So get this done.
You remember me, remind me that to get the job at Federal Express Air Freight, I know how persistent I can be. I knocked on the door for 30 days every day until I got the job. So I am remembering I'm coming full circle there.
Yes, you are. And it's a good thing to see. And it's a good thing to remind everybody else. Stormy just said he had to knock on the door for 30 days before he got the job done. All right? Well, people, don't stop knocking. Don't give up. Sometimes God lets us knock a few times to make sure we mean it, that we really need it. Because sometimes we just knock on the door for pleasantries, conveniences, things that will keep us from struggling or, focusing our attention on it. And he'll let us knock a few times, sometimes quite a few times. This is why always the blessing calls are free. Always we are here for you on Sunday. If anything should come up that I couldn't be here, we have 234 blessing givers. And many of them are here on the call. And those not on the call are out somewhere doing their life, but showing up to offer the blessing in a coordinated fashion. This is one reason I really need to wrap up our calls on time, because we're coordinating with a lot of people who both blessing givers and blessing receivers, such as people in other countries that just can't afford the long-distance calls. And, you know, or they don't even have a telephone. But they want to be here. They need the blessing. And they're asking for it. So that's why sometimes I hasten us along just a little bit. And I hope you don't take it as cutting you short. It's just I'm looking at the board and how many people are coming on to ask for a blessing, and we got to make time for everybody. So I love you all. And if you don't get to actually talk and offer a blessing, please offer, ask the blessing quietly in prayer. Let it be heard, because God listens. Yeshua listens. The Holy Spirit listens to every one. Okay. Now, I'm still trying to figure this out, but I think we'll get it done now. All right. We've got Carolyn on the line. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello?
Hello. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just going to go and put my speaker on so I can hear you properly. Glenda, first of all, I wanted to ask a blessing for a friend of my son's who is in the military, and he first of all managed to get an exemption from his commanding officer for not getting the COVID vaccine, but it was overruled by this two-star general, and he ended up having to do it, and he was hospitalized with heart problems and extreme fatigue. He's out of hospital now. He's at home. But I would like some blessings for his recovery. Very concerned about what happened to him.
I can imagine.
He did. And his name is Ryan. He's a wonderful young man. And so I'm hoping that Yeshua can help him get back to his normal level of health and strength. The second blessing I'd like to do is for me, I have a book project, my second book I'm trying to get out in October. It's a comedy self-help book about breast cancer and infidelity. And I would like that to be able to reach people and help them through those kinds of difficult times. So those are the two blessings. And again, I want to send blessings to all the people struggling right now. There's so much dark stuff happening, especially in Russia and the Ukraine. And I do really hope that that will dissipate, and that the people there, the ordinary people who are suffering so much in both countries, will be able to go back to having a normal life. So
amen.
So that's it. And I also hope you received my picture.
Yes, I was going to ask you, Carolyn, if you're my friend in Hawaii that sent it.
I don't
yes,
get last
right.
names
oh,
on the on the book.
I
yes.
did, and it's just beautiful. I was so touched. I just my eyes just welled up, and it now is hanging in a special place in my home. Place of honor in the living room. So thank you so much, Carolyn. And for the rest of you who don't know what this is about, Carolyn had, I believe it's a 19th century etching.
It's actually it's from the 1700s, 1784, I think.
The 18th century etching of the Glastonbury Abbey.
Yeah,
I was stumbling on my tongue. I've got trying to drink some water. It is beautiful, and I just felt the treasure of not just that abbey, but what preceded it in earlier structures in the Glastonbury area, and felt so privileged to get as close as I could get to it in Texas. It's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek association, but you know, for God, there are no boundaries. There is no time and space. And he was welcoming me among the gifted scribes of the ages who have brought wisdom for thousands of years to this earth. And I feel privileged, really privileged to have been honored in that way. It's, for me, it's better than receiving an Oscar, just to be counted among the ones who have brought the Word of God to this earth, for a
Absolutely.
Little bit more service, a little bit more clarity, and a little bit more happiness for all of us. And I think that it's something to remind us all to seek wisdom now in whatever way you can, because one of the things that was also prophesied in the times of tribulation is that there would be communication means for evil and haters to have an unlimited venue for expressing their poison upon the earth. And we see that happening in all of the social media. I really don't find any place in my life for social media anymore, because no matter what you post, it will be challenged by someone with hatred in their soul. Well, in their mind. I don't really think hatred gets in the soul. It doesn't really get in the heart either. There are gateways preventing it, but it certainly does get in the mind. And there are people who have suffered for a very long time, and they have the misconception that by expressing their agony through hatred, people will come to their defense. And it isn't the way it works. It just isn't the way it works. We have to learn to express our faith, our hope, our desire, our optimism, and whatever love we can call forth in the best way we can. Because we get exactly what we attract through what we express. So let us all learn from that and express our love, our hope, our joy, and our faith in the best way we can. And thank you for that treasure, Carolyn. It is honored, and I will take a photo. As soon as some of this heavy workload expires from my life and I get back to something I could call normal, I'll send you a photograph of where it is. And
oh, beautiful.
It will always be cherished. Thank you.
I'm so glad. It makes my heart sing to hear that.
Okay. Well, you make my heart sing.
Can I just say one thing? For us folks
yes.
in Hawaii, I just want to make a correction to the emails you're sending out. It is actually starting now at 10 a.m., not 11 a.m., because we don't change the clock. We don't have our clocks go forward in Hawaii.
Well,
and so folks here, don't miss your wonderful Sunday sessions. Please change that time that you start on the email.
I sure
too,
will.
Starting at
Thank
10.
You. And I don't
Thank
know
you
how
so
Hawaii
much.
Will be. I do not know how Hawaii and Arizona will be affected by the new federal law that is in process of being. It's already passed the Senate, going to the House. And it looks like it's going to be passed, where we will have permanent daylight savings time, and there will be no exceptions to it. So I'm not in favor of that personally, because I think that this is something that should really be elective to the people it affects. But as we can see, our federal government is, in many ways, overstepping its bounds right now. And this is one we may have to live with. So watch for the news. Watch for the news, and it will you'll find out what's going to happen. So, Carolyn, I'm going to move on because we have other people in our queue. But God bless
Thank you.
And who will. Okay. Jerome?
Yeah.
You are on.
Yes, thank you. But I ask prayers for my family and prayers for our country and for Russia and Ukraine, too. But thank you for everything you are and for the spirit that you are for all of us and for all of us on earth and the universe. Love and blessings, peace and joy, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jerome. Okay. And thank you for that delightful, divine laugh that you have. That shows the presence of God is in you.
Yes, it is. And you too, as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, welcome. Thank you so much. Yes. All right, we are going to take our next caller.
Hi, this is Caroline. How are you?
Hello, Caroline. I am fine, thank you.
Thank you for the work you do. Very grateful. I wanted to request a blessing for both of my sons, Maxwell and Christopher Melton. They turned 18 this year, and they both have special needs and different needs. My one son, Christopher, has autism, obsessive compulsive disorder, and cerebral palsy. And even though he's a very bright boy, I'm really having trouble seeing the path of how he'll become independent. He's not necessarily choosing it at the moment, what I need to be or could be to facilitate that. My other son is, he has ADD, dyslexia, and some other issues, and he is going to college. And I'm delighted for him. I'm also a little worried about him managing, and he's decided to go away, which is, I think, a great opportunity. But I hope, I'm hoping for success for him.
Both of your sons are in our blessings today. And I just want to encourage you to believe this. Some of the most productive, revolutionary, creative, brilliant men and women of all times have had major, major afflictions. And it really comes down to how these afflictions are, how they are supported with our attitude and our self-confidence. Learning that our afflictions do not reduce the soul in any way. They only affect our ability in the world concerning what we're able to do physically. They do not challenge our intellect, even though they may challenge the mechanical way the mind works. They do not challenge our physical ability to perform, even though they may require that we adapt to new ways in which to perform. And instead of worrying about your sons, I would suggest that you just be amazed with your sons. I'm sure they've already overcome a lot just to deal with these challenges and to rise above them well enough. Well, for your son now going to college, just think of all he had to overcome to get to that point. And he's a young man now. And men are especially challenged to rise up to their highest potential. Let him do it. Let him have the challenge. And just pray that the power and the grace of God will take him above the ordinary human expectation into something greater than the rest of us normally aspire to. Let him aspire to more. Teach both of your sons to have a higher aspiration that compensates for the challenges on the earth plane, because it is not a sentence from God to be less achieved, less valuable, and less attuned to human needs. And in my opinion, the most inspiring people of all history have had one or another major, major, major physical, mental, or emotional challenges. So it's just a challenge bar that they've been given to rise above. Let's keep them high enough that they fly over it. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
God bless you and them and all others that are having any kind of unusual mental, physical, or emotional challenge. You're up to it. All of you are children of God. All of you
are created in the image of God. You actually have no limitations. You just have different pathways for achieving. And let it be said and understood that way. Please, please. I want to pray for your son's freedom to achieve in different ways. That's all it's about. They are earmarked for achieving differently. And that's it.
Thank you.
And God bless you too. I know it's been a very big challenge for you to have children who need to achieve in different ways. But you can be up to it, and so can they. Okay, we're going to take the next person in our queue. Thank you, Carolyn. Okay, next question.
Hi, Glenda, and everyone.
Hi, Christopher.
Hi, everybody. Well, first of all, there's two things. One, the first is, Glenda, I would love to hear how you're doing in your new home and if there's any ways that we can pray for you, if you're open to sharing.
Oh, I am. Well, I'm not going to take a lot of time for sharing because I want to keep us on time and have enough room for people really, really asking for blessings. But I will say this. It is one of the greatest joys I have had in many, many months that our store is now open. And we're offering everything except for new G clays to be printed. We do still have 2 16x16 prints of the Lamb and the Lion that were printed before the move. The reason we don't have any more right now and for possibly another month is because G clay printers are very, very finicky. They don't even like to be moved 3 inches, and they have to be calibrated. So try 600 miles. They're not just going to be finicky. They're going to be rebelling. And we've got to find a qualified technician here before we can offer any more. But, you know, I did want to say one thing about the G clays, because I want you to know, those of you who have one, whether it's Lamb and the Lion, Yeshua, First Light, whatever one you have, I want to say one thing about the G clays we offer. You can go to many places today and find canvas prints, and they're not the same. And I want to tell you why. When I noticed the condition my printer was in, and I thought, oh no, I'm not going to be able to offer this for at least a month and maybe longer, it really occurred to me to call free customer service company like Kinko's, or even Best Buy. They actually offer canvas prints. And I thought, well, you know, they do very good work. Maybe I could just get them printed there. And then it hit me. Oh, no, you don't, Linda. No, 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 no. Those are just canvas prints. And they may look good. And we might get some. Actually, I had them done for purposes of just showing them at a seminar or a fair that I was at to take orders for the real thing. What's the difference? I want you to know, because I want you to know that I could actually have gotten canvas prints for you pretty inexpensively actually there and passed on the savings to you. But you would have had them for maybe 15 years if you kept them out of direct sunlight. But the inks they're printed with are the same as come off of your digital printer, your office printer. You know, and if the light hits them, even in direct light, well, a few years down the road, they're going to be taking on different tones and may turn purple. I know you've seen that in photographs you had. They'll start fading, and then they'll take on a purple hue. And then who wants to have those framed on the wall? Really? Really? You don't. Well, there is a special ink It's called micro-encapsulated ink. Every particle, and I'm talking about microparticle, is coated with an anti-UV ray filter so that it will stand up to light for at least 200 years. And when you put them on real canvas, the canvas will hold up for at least 200 years. For this reason, real G-clays, and that's what we offer, real G-clays, are actually collected by museums. And they're actually exhibited by museums. They're perfect to the equivalency of an original, and they hold up over a long period of time, possibly as long. We don't know how much longer than 200 years they could hold up. They might hold up longer than an original. We just don't know yet because they can't be proven to hold up for more than 200 years. But they're the real thing. They're a thing worth investing in. So when you go out to Home Depot or any other store that has canvas prints and you look at the price and you say, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh, I could get this for, why doesn't she offer this for this price? Because they won't last, my friends. They'll hold up a little bit. Well, they might be worth $25 because they'll hold up for maybe 15 years and go back and get another one 15 years later. But they won't have been prints I produced or prints I signed or prints I approved as being equivalent to the original that you could pass on to your kids and your grandkids. They're just not the same things. They're not. And that's why I'm going to wait until I get this printer rehabilitated, get a whole different print cabinet inserted, probably, to give you an idea of the difference in cost. You could replace all of the inks in your digital printers for maybe, I don't know, it depends on what size printer you have, somewhere between $100 and $300. The inks we put in the G-Clay printer, and I'm talking about a real one, are going to cost about between $1,000 and $1,200 for a complete set of cartridges. That's the difference in cost because they're really, really special inks. And they're capable of relaying the colors in an authentic and realistic reproduction of the original. So it's worth the difference, and it's worth the wait. But I do have two 16 by 16 Lavin Lions left. So I don't have them on the online store because sure as the world, someone will place an order for them, and I won't be able to fill the order. So you'll have to call me, but you call me, and I'll tell you if we've still got these. And if we do, then we can get one to you. And I think we have a couple of Yeshua's left. I'll do my inventory and have it ready. But if you want a G-Clay, you can call me and see if what you want is available. Otherwise, we'll have them back up in a month or two. Okay, that's what it, and that will be a great joy to me. I love printing these. I do. I really, really love. I do every single print myself, and I love it because it's a memory for me of creating the original. And if they're not right, I don't keep them. I just mark them as void and recycle them. Okay, well, Christopher, thank you so much.
Thank you for offering the highest quality in every way to us. I mean, in terms of your being, your teaching, your writing, your art. Thank you so much. And there one more blessing that I have for everyone.
Okay.
That is lonely in the world. And just, I think about my elder friend that I spoke of a couple of weeks ago who's he's in his 80s and he's in a assisted living facility, and I talk to him regularly, and I think about all the elders that are around him. They tell him that they're very unhappy, and sometimes when I'm on the phone with him, I can hear the woman across the hall yelling. She gets very upset. And I just want to pray for the loneliness that so many people feel in the world, and share that I've felt loneliness very much in my life. And even this morning I prayed out to God, you know, I feel lonely. Help me. And I realized that for myself in the process of dealing with loneliness, that it's almost always a call back to God. Because when I'm in God's presence, I feel His love and His tenderness and His mercy and His absolute adorableness and beauty and kindness. And then I realize that what I've been seeking outside in terms of community or in terms of, you know, trying to fill that void that I feel or that tension inside of the loneliness, that I find it in His company. So I ultimately pray, I really pray that more and more people would be touched and be able to experience how absolutely wonderful and beautiful God is, aside and apart from and beyond anything we've learned from religion. I'm talking about the direct experience of our beloved.
Yes. Oh, that is so, so, so true, Christopher. And I would only correct one thing about what you said. You said it's almost always a call back to God. I'd like to say it's always a call back to God.
Mm.
Always. But I'll tell you how it starts. The first, first of all, I want to say there's a really big difference between aloneness and loneliness. Aloneness is just a need to connect with someone and share life. Loneliness you can have in the middle of 100 people. And loneliness begins with not feeling connected with your own true self.
Mm.
Loneliness is trying to maintain, it comes actually, and it's interesting that your first example was elderly people. Loneliness comes from trying your best to maintain an image of yourself while forgetting your true self. You're not focusing on your true self. You're trying to retain the image of a self that cannot be either anymore or at least not right now. Mm. And this is a common problem with elderly people. They don't like that they can't work anymore. They don't like that they can't be with their children anymore. They don't like where they are compared to being in a situation not too long ago where they could just walk outside and go sit in nature. And they don't like that they're in a situation where they have caregivers. So they're trying to maintain what the image of what used to be. But you can always be who you are. And that's the first thing to recover, is who you are. That is always there for you, no matter what the condition is. It doesn't matter if you're sick, if you've been abandoned, if you've been betrayed, if you are disoriented in terms of the outer world. Always it starts by recovering the true self you are. It's about finding and recovering your true self, and then building within your true self self-esteem that cannot be affected or diminished by what other people say, by what's happening to you or for you in the external environment. And sometimes God actually puts us in situations that cause us to do exactly this. He'll put us in a situation where conquering aloneness is not enough. We can be around 20 other people so that we're not alone, but we're lonely. And he'll put us in a situation where we have to distinguish between these two differences. so that we learn how not to be lonely. So the first thing is recovering your true self and letting go of all the other identities that you've cherished that made you feel better by being that. Perhaps someone in a retirement center was once an executive and he or she managed dozens and dozens of people, maybe hundreds of people, and it made that person feel so important and so valuable. And now he or she doesn't have that. And she's feeling alone, but most of all, lonely. Because when she or he was in that important, prestigious position, they forgot to be themselves because it was enough to be the position. It was enough to be the director, the manager, the leader. Mm. That's all they needed and wanted. And they forgot about themselves. And I have to tell you guys, sometimes when we look at leaders and we find certain positive values are missing, and we wish those positive values were there, what happened is they replaced who they truly are with who they have accomplished. And who they accomplished cannot hold to those positive values. This is why in high places, so oftentimes, corruption happens. And I don't mean major corruptions like criminality, but just deficiencies in the person. Lack of compassion. Lack of value creating in the position. They're just lacking in so many of these qualities that we want. They forgot who they were because they became the position. And then they suffer when the position is gone. That's where and when they become so lonely. Pray for them to find themselves again. Because when they find themselves again, there will be a calling back to God. So what's the next step? Is prayer or meditation, whichever the person is inclined to hold close to themselves. Reaching for a higher place that has nothing to do with accomplishments in the world. A higher place of the soul. And Christopher, this is something that could happen to anybody. It really, truly should and could. I was just listening to a recording on YouTube recently of Billy Graham. He was actually my first spiritual teacher because they started recording his missions at the time when I was, well, I was a child. I don't know what the age was. We got our first TV, I think, when I was about 8 years old. And shortly after that, I discovered the Billy Graham missions that were broadcast. And I found him so much more uplifting than the preachers in my church. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to pass a judgment, but so often the parochial ministers would speak to a parochial audience that had certain attitudes and biases about life and about God. And sometimes their sermons were limited and a little bit judgmental without really intending a judgment. It's just they were in a smaller box, let's put it that way. Billy Graham was in a huge stadium, sometimes with more people gathered than had ever gathered to hear one person speak. And there's something about being in front of people from all over the world that just broadens the mind and it humbles the soul. And one thing I found about him was his humility. He was probably the most important preacher among what I could call preachers. There were spiritual teachers. There were spiritual teachers such as Gandhi and Pope John. Oh, I love Pope John. He was terrific. There were spiritual teachers that were great. But of the Christian preachers that were broadcast preachers, he was the greatest of the 20th century. Not even close. And that's because he reached into such a big audience, it humbled him. And I'm thinking about one of the things that my late husband was telling me about meeting Billy Graham in person. Actually, several times. They were at conferences, and both of them were speakers at the conference. And he sat beside Billy Graham at one where he had the opportunity to talk to him. And he said, Glenda, if there's one thing I could tell you about Billy Graham, he was the most humble person, second only to the apostles, that ever walked on the earth. And he said you could feel his humility palpably. You could feel it in every word he spoke. And you could feel his humility in relation to the Bible. And he said, I would say that it is safe for any Christian or non-Christian to learn about the Bible from him, because he may have an opinion. He may have a bias, but it's so saturated with humility. You'll never get stuck in a limitation or a limitation of belief in anything Billy Graham ever spoke. And I thought about when Larry said that, I said, well, you know, Larry, he was my first teacher, because I wouldn't miss a Sunday broadcast. Never. We'd go to church in the morning, and sometimes to the preacher, I would say, yeah, that's good. But I didn't take it all in, because I didn't feel comfortable with all of it. But I would listen to Dr. Graham in the afternoon. And I felt good about taking it all in, because if something about it didn't work for me, it never got stuck. That's what I want to say, is it never got stuck. And that's because he was the humblest man I ever had speak to me until Yeshua appeared. So I can't say too much about the spirit of humility. And I think that's something we all should stay with throughout our life. And if these top executives and leaders of the world would just imbue their role in the world with a tiniest touch of humility, they would be saved from the prison of ego. And when they have eclipsed their presence in higher places, they could discover themselves again. There's something about the soul itself that is humble, and it is just the love that they are. And that's how you teach the lonely to not be lonely, because the cure is humility, and then love, and then reaching for higher ground, whether it's through a teacher, a guide, the angels, meditation, or the Holy Spirit, or God Almighty. And I think that is a wonderful way of opening yourself to a blessing. It actually takes humility to receive. It does. And it's pride that keeps most people from receiving. They substitute that with achievement. And then they think they can climb the full mountain of life with achievement. And then when they've achieved all they can achieve, they think they can climb the rest of the mountain with power. And in that climb, they lose humility. And it's a painful fall. Even those who transition out of this world in a higher office will fall, because we fall to the level of our humility. So I would say to you, how high can you build your humility? How high can you climb with humility? And that's a good goal for any of us to have.
Glenda, you are so right on. You know, when I had this prayer this morning, you know what guided me into that communion? It was from Psalm 25, verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. I highlighted it. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You are you and I are on the same page.
Okay. We are.
Okay, my friends. We're going to take a question from Sarah, and then we're going to do our blessing.
Aloha, beloved Glenda and this beloved community. This is Sarah. I'm in Massachusetts, and I'm at my beloved mother Kathleen's hospital bed. And I want to ask for a Christ blessing for Kathleen, that her will may be aligned with God's will. And I want to pray for her roommate, Bonnie, a Christ blessing for Bonnie, and for all patients in all hospitals everywhere on earth. And I want also a Christ blessing for all of the healers, the doctors, nurses, all of them. Pray for them and their skill and their compassion. And I pray, ask for a Christ blessing for all of the families to have strength and to have faith in God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Sarah. And I will continue my prayers for your sweet mom, Kathleen. And Kathleen, if you're listening, you're in my prayers.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to tell her.
Okay. Okay. So bye-bye, much. My dear. And
bye-bye.
Let's all get ready for our blessing. We are here at the 4 o'clock mark. Okay. So everybody just find your most comfortable spot and surrender into it. Could be your chair, your bed, a sofa, a meditation lounge, a mat. Just don't cross your legs. Don't be in the lotus position, okay? Or cross your arms in any other way, because we're going to be conducting energy through you. And that energy comes from your Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, through Yeshua, and conducted through the energy of the universe, engaging with the energy of our beautiful planet. So it will enter your body through the crown chakra, top of your head. For that reason, I would ask that your head not be covered unless it's part of your sacred belief. Even then, make sure it's a natural fiber, meaning cotton, silk, wool, linen, something of that sort that is all natural, not synthetic. Synthetic substances can actually scramble the higher frequencies of energy. This can even be true of the clothes you wear daily. If you're a little bit confused and disoriented, put on cotton, linen, wool, or silk clothing. It actually does help. It really does. And this is why so many of the sacred masters of history wore these fibers and walked barefoot to touch the earth. We could have a whole seminar on that. But at least for the blessing, let's respect that, okay? And be extremely comfortable. Now let's take a very deep breath and see it as the breath of life. Fill your lungs to capacity and hold it. Take it in as love. And then release it back to the world as love. That which you give back is love. That which you take in now is faith. Hold it to capacity. And then release it to the world as faith. That which you inhale and inhale to capacity is hope. Hold it. Now release hope to the world. That which you inhale from the earth to full capacity is peace. And now exhale it to the world as peace. I'm going to offer my invitation to Yeshua for reasons we discussed earlier, that Yeshua and the Holy Spirit and our Holy Father await our invitation so that we will be ready to receive. When I am finished, I would ask that you pray that all that is being given to you and placed around you is attuned to you and your personal needs. So let us begin. Yeshua, we are here at your feet, kneeling in respect, love, and surrender to be your little brother, your little sister, the one who seeks your love, your gift, your healing, your triumphant courage to be all that we can be, and then give that which we are to others who enjoy our life. We ask that we could be sources of radiant energy into the world to give your love, your faith, your hope, and your peace into a world so needing all of these qualities of soul, strength, and attitude. We ask for peace in our world and peace in the life of all who struggle in the midst of hardship. Teach us not to fight for peace, but to love for peace. To have faith that peace may be among us. To hope for peace. And to hold peace as the energy we give into our life, into our world. That we may be that which we seek. We now ask that we ask for others who know not to ask. But as participants of humanity, and in the family of human creation, we ask for all of us that there be abundance of food, abundance of healers and health givers, abundance of teachers, abundance of rehabilitators, abundance of those who rebuild and bring us into a better living with one another. All these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand with me and let's offer the blessing. And those receiving, you may start your prayer now.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I just ask that you rest for at least 7 minutes. And in that time, don't continue your prayers, because you'll be praying with words. We don't want any words. We want silence. We want a blank slate that God may write the messages to you or the energy of your blessing. So bye-bye from me for now. I'll see you again next week. God bless you all.